Have you been injured at work and need help getting the benefits you deserve? Call me, attorney Steve Marte, at 312-312-HURT for a free consultation. That's 312-312-HURT. I will personally handle your claim from start to finish. Call me, Steve Marte, today.
From the First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank State Street Studio, this is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope you had a great weekend. Beautiful day outside. We're inside the First Midwest Bank studio. I haven't said this yet either, too. I tweeted it out, tweeted a picture. The crowd that we had, Tyler, you were there. The crowd that we had at Fire Bar and Grill in Crystal Lake, they rolled out the red carpet for us, Miller Lite, taking us to different Miller Time establishments. And the people up there in Crystal Lake could not have been kinder and nicer. And they participated. They wanted to hear the show. Took a lot of pictures.
Flamingo challenge, too.
We did the flamingo challenge, which was Waddle read a story in Waddle's World where if you could be unhealthy if you can't stand on one leg for 10 seconds.
There is a heightened chance of you dying in the next 7 years if you can't balance on one leg. I think it was for, 15 seconds, 10 seconds?
10 or 15. Can you do it, Mellor? We did it.
Yeah, let's see. Just balance on.
You just gotta
just one leg, yeah, like a flamingo. But put your one leg up.
How about this? I'm gonna go lefty leg.
Yeah, and that's what we were doing. We were switching, right? I think you're. Oh, you fell right over. I mean, that was a second. What was that? Now you're in a groove.
All right.
It's pretty easy if you don't have any injury or.
I don't have my mic on, so I can't talk as I'm doing this. See, you got to engage the core.
The core, yeah. Always engage the core.
That little stumble out of the gate was a little worrisome.
Because I was, just jumped.
If that would have happened with a cop here, you would have been taken down to the station. You would have asked to breathe in this.
Have I hit 15 yet?
Yeah, you're good. So that was. But thank you to everyone. And, I think it's going to be a couple weeks after the holiday. We'll be back out again. I think, what is it, like July 20-something? Danny Lynch will get me the information. But as soon as we have the announcement.
It'll be Miller time, July 20-something.
I thought I heard that. But you know what I like to hear, too, on Twitter is everyone always says, hey, when are you coming here? When are you coming there? People legitimately want us out in their neighborhood bars. So we're going to continue to do Miller time. We're going to go all over the Chicago area, north, south, east, west. And we'll be in your neck of the woods. By the way, too, speaking of that, we're going to have an announcement on the show tomorrow. Did Danny come up with a time yet?
I have not heard from Danny yet.
Do we have anyone scheduled for 3? You know what? Big Cat's usually at 4. We're moving. He has to go on at 5. Is he doing some sort of an event? Someone tweeted me saying that he's coming on after he's doing an event. For Barstool.
It might be.
But, like, is it a drunk event? Something where they're drinking? Where's the... Jake said, wait, Barstool Big Cat is going to be on Waddle and Sylvie after he does the case race. That will be Can't Miss Radio. What is the case race? Should I know what this is?
I mean, if it's just like your standard case race, it's you and a couple other dudes, and you got to race through a case of beer.
You have to drink the entire...
Yeah, and then I think, certain ones, like there's a running element, there's an eating element to it all. Like,
right.
Sometimes there's like a case of beer, a full pizza, and then like there's a third leg to this too.
And how much of the case do you have to drink?
It's a team. It's like a relay race almost. Yeah. So it's like there's a team.
All right. So this may be after Big Cat does the case race. I've not heard about this, but tomorrow at 5. So why don't we say tomorrow at this time? We have a big station announcement. And I've been around here for a while, and this is, I believe, really going to be embraced. This is going to be one that everyone likes, okay? That's all I'll say. 24 hours from now, 4 o'clock tomorrow, we will let you know what the announcement is.
Are you willing to say that people are going to be more excited about the show's announcement tomorrow at this time than the show announcement from Cap and Jay Hood this morning at 9 o'clock.
What was the show announcement today?
So the big show announcement, and I don't want to oversell it, Billy Donovan's on the station tomorrow at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So
that's good.
But you think it'll be a little bit bigger?
Yeah, this is bigger. You like Chris Carlin? 3 hours of Carlin every day. No, I'm kidding. tomorrow at 4, we will be giving you a station announcement that everyone will love. Dion's going to be here tomorrow with us as well, so that should be a lot of fun. And Nick Friedel is just hilarious. Before we get into playing some of the AK, Nick, I tweeted out a second video today. This guy is something. Someone asked, why, if Nick was in the studio, why isn't he on the show today? He's actually hosting the national side of ESPN, right?
Correct, the national radio show.
So he's doing so he's using our studio for that. He's going to be on with me on Wednesday. So, and then Cuddy says he may come in on Thursday or Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Wilbon may come in on Wednesday or Thursday. This is going to be a bit, even though Waddle's drinking Coors Light in South Carolina, we got big announcements. We've got special guests, people in studio.
Drunk big cats. Yes. Lots of stuff happening.
Pace races.
Push Waddle out of the studio, and all of a sudden the big stuff happens.
Well, because you got to fill those shoes.
That's true.
You got to fill the shoes. So anyway, the announcement tomorrow, and Friedel in studio, he came in and he was telling us a little about KD and Kyrie and everything, that they may not want to go through that pain again, and they may be open to granting KD a trade because they don't want the undependability of Kyrie.
It was so bad with Kyrie last year.
Yeah.
The Nets are like, no, we're not doing that again, and if it means getting rid of Kevin Durant, they'll do that. Rather than run it back with Kyrie and KD and risk going through what they just went through.
Yes. Then he told us this. So tomorrow is the event for Vaughn McClure and JD and their foundation. It's at Tao Chicago. You can still Google Vaughn McClure, Jeff Dickerson Foundation. I went on ABC7 today to promote it. If you haven't bought your tickets, you want to go, I'll be there. Mel, are you going? I know Tyler's going.
Unfortunately, I'm on my way on vacation, so unfortunately the date didn't line up.
Are you?
For me.
Well, you're telling me now you're not going.
I'm working.
Oh, you're working.
Yeah,
now.
I'm working.
You were going to be my date. You were going to be my plus one.
You never told me that.
I'm going to be there. It's going to be a who's who of ESPN personalities. A lot of national figures are going to be coming in too. We're going to raise money. It's 100% of the proceeds go to the causes that these guys believed in. They funded scholarships for future journalists as well. You know, I'm wearing my JD shirt today from Obvious Shirts, and it's crazy to say and to think that we're going to a foundation in memory of Jeff Dickerson and Vaughn McClure, both of them so full of life. But the Jeff Dickerson hit so hard that he was our teammate, and especially because I always have the memory, the inaugural foundation for Vaughn, the inaugural event was up north at the Lincolnshire Marriott, and here's JD, who was in public. It's the way he wanted to go, especially for Parker, and he's the guy
emceeing the event,
organizing it, making sure this is all hitting all the right notes. This was in, I think, October or November of last year. He passed away in late December. And JD, as always, never, ever, ever wanting to make things about himself, is still like so on board to making this so big. And now, you know, unfortunately, his name is on this foundation, too. The bright spot is, we're going to do great things with this, and check it out. Tickets are still on sale for Sarah Spain is going to be emceeing the event. My buddy Roman Madrowski is going to be there. Nick Friedel is going to be there. A lot of the NFL, ESPN, NFL Nation reporters. I think Courtney Cronin, yes, who did First Take today, is going to be there as well. So it's going to be a who's who of Chicago people who you know and love in Chicago sports media. So come on out tomorrow at Tao Chicago.
Yeah, a great event in memory of a guy who was truly selfless. All of us got to know that side of JD. It'll be well worth your time if that's something you're interested in. Like JD, Sylvie just said, check it out. Do a Google search, JD Vaughn McClure Foundation, and feel free to donate because it's well worth it.
Yes. Like, you could, if you can't attend, you could still donate on the page, on the Vaughn McClure JD Foundation page. And then I get to the big man baby that is Nick Friedel, because that's the perfect way to sum him up. So he's in town for the event, and he extended his stay one extra day to do the show with me on Wednesday, the event, and so he needed dry cleaning. He goes up north with John Greenberg to go to Ravinia last night, and we're in the office, and he's telling me that John Greenberg, that I asked him, I go, what are you wearing? Like, what's the dress for this? It's sport coat, you know, polo underneath something. He's like, it's at the dry cleaner. He was like, came up here, and I gave my dry cleaning to John Greenberg, and he took it to some Deerfield dry cleaner. I hope I get it back. I'm like, what do you mean you hope you get it back? And why are you incapable of taking care of your own dry cleaning? You lived in this town for how many years? And like you're a kid coming home from college. And the last time he came in, Chris Bleck told us the story where Autumn, Chris's wife, had to do Nick's laundry. So he's having Chris's wife do his laundry. Now he's having John Greenberg take his clothes to the dry cleaner. I mean, where does this end?
You know, my favorite part of that was when he was up there in the office saying that, Nick himself utters the phrase before he trails off. He said, quote, it takes a village. And then he dot, dot, dot. He didn't finish. And the saying, of course, is it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
That's the saying. But Nick just trailed off. And then he mentioned, John always thinks of me as his big adult kid.
He is. He's a big man baby is what he is.
I love how in all these instances he acts like this is protocol. Like, this is protocol. This is the standard. Nick's in town. Someone's doing his laundry. Someone's picking up his dry cleaning. Someone's picking up his cheeseburgers. All that stuff.
Honestly, like a freshman coming home from his first year of college. Here's my laundry bag, Mom. Hey, Donna. Good to see you. Going out with my friends, do my laundry.
Think of this. 99% of the world who sees him covering Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Derrick Rose, you know, asking the hard-hitting questions where Kyrie will then, snap back at him in the middle of a press conference, then Nick will fire back with a legit question. 99% of the world has no idea what it takes to get this man clothed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if Kyrie clapped back at him with something about the laundry?
Do your own laundry. That's a good. We should tweet Kyrie on that. If Nick busts your, you know what, anymore about like you standing up for real, real issues.
That way we know KD will see it because he is so active on Twitter. I think that's our path there.
All right, tweet it. Tweet it out. Say, hey, KD, did you know that Nick Friedel doesn't do his own laundry or dry cleaning? I want to play you some AK. I watched the press conference today, and I love AK. This just goes into the whole thing, too, and we'll get to it later about Eberflus, because Darnell Mooney was raving about Eberflus, which is good to hear, but what you can take out of that, I don't know. AK, I think AK is almost purposely being extra boring during these press conferences, so he doesn't have to speak. It was Eversley the other day who spoke after the draft pick, and I'm cool with it. Like, he was super Bill Belichick today. As long as AK gives me good basketball teams, I don't care how open he is. I don't care how friendly he is. Like, just keep doing what you're doing, AK. You took the Bulls from the bottom and you brought them up to the middle here. Now can you take them from the middle to the top? And that's a whole nother discussion. If you buy what he's selling, is he just telling you what you want to hear about continuity until there is a trade that could come into focus? But man, and like, Billy likes to talk. AK, he couldn't care less. It's like, it just seems like everybody at that press conference is inconveniencing AK. So this was him talking about Zach LaVine. Does this include Casey's question at the beginning?
His follow-up question. I don't believe Casey's first question's there.
So I believe the question had to do with something like Zach being a free agent and how his knee is. And do you feel comfortable giving him the money based on the reports from his knee after the arthroscopic surgery?
By all accounts, the scope was pretty routine and successful.
So, you do keep the question, and here's the question.
By all accounts, the scope was pretty routine and successful. And between that and the structural integrity of the MRI, are you confident extending a full 5-year contract to him?
I think he's going to be healthy, and I think he's now progressing great. like I said, looking forward to free agency.
Are you confident in extending a full 5-year offer to him?
I'm confident. I'm confident in, you know, approaching this free agency, you know, next couple of days, sitting down with our group, you know, looking at a lot of things. And June 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern time, that's when conversations start.
That's it. And I don't need to know more. I mean, I'm not ripping him at all. Like, do your job, be good at what you really do. And that's all I care about, whether you're this super talkative guy at the podium or you're super, like, that's why I don't care if Ryan Poles tells me he's rebuilding. Just show me. I don't care what AK tells me. Just show me. And so far, AK has shown me. And he's built up more trust now with the Bulls fan base. So he did sound like he kept saying confident. He's confident in Zach's health, I think, is what he was saying, to extend him what they need to extend him. And really, what they need to extend him to keep him is the max. I don't think there's a gray area here.
No, you're right there. Also, did you like how he pointed out the exact time free agency opens, just so
when discussions can begin?
The league knows we're not going to get caught tampering this
year. No Lonzo Ball situation here. 6 o'clock, June 30th.
What did they lose? Did they just get fined or did they lose their second pick?
They lost a second round pick, but it's not this year's because that one was traded away for DeMar DeRozan. So it's somewhere down the road they're losing a second rounder.
Okay. And so here's AK today. This is the biggest debate. I think this is the biggest debate with Bulls fans. I think this is the biggest debate on what the Bulls should do is the continuity portion. The company line coming from the press conferences has been about this continuity. Now, the question remains, do you believe him? And I'm not saying calling him a liar. I'm just saying, why are you going? Of course, you're going to say we want to be stay the course until there's a trade. Like what benefit would he say? No, we're shopping Vooch or we're shopping IO or we're shopping P. Will. But this is the line that they keep giving you. The question is, do you believe him?
The last 2 years, we built, you know, the way you can build your roster is three ways, right? Through your trades, via free agency, and the draft. And I think we tapping into all three of them. And during the draft, you just keep adding talent, which we did. And continuity, yes, because this group has been here only since October. So we're still trying to get used to how to play with each other. I think, start of the season last year, it was really, really positive and exactly how we want to play. But, you know, goals in September, obviously all roster to be healthy and ready for the season.
It just sounds a lot like the White Sox. It sounds a lot like we like our young core. We like what we've developed, and let's run it back again and try again. When we knew the White Sox had a second base issue, when we knew they could have maybe used another starter or another reliever, you know, like you always can add. Now, we'll see. I still don't believe. I don't believe him because he has shown me that he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And I don't think he, now run it back with Patrick Williams, run it back with Lonzo Ball, run it back with DeMar DeRozan, run it back with Zach LaVine, run it back with Alex Caruso. That's cool. But I still believe there's a move with the guy like Vooch.
I noticed you didn't say Vooch.
No, and I don't know why you should. And I think that's one area that you could get better. Look, if you want to continue to play Cesar Hernandez, is that who they
got last season?
And then instead of Cesar Hernandez, it was Josh Harrison. If you want to keep doing that, you see where it gets you.
Yeah, you know, that's alarming because the one thing is what you say there, Sylvie, I think at least in baseball, I can see more of a path to trusting your young talent and potentially watching them get better and potentially in the playoffs getting hot and winning. That doesn't happen in basketball, though. I don't buy it. Like the core the Bulls have in place.
In like the 80s and 90s, it may have, but in today's game, it's more like, hey, when there are so many guys who could become available, like you make the move. And I believe he's an aggressive GM. That's all he's shown me, not what he tells me. Again, I don't care what he says. I care what he shows me. And thus far, he's shown me Now, if they do run it back, as a Bulls fan, I still like this team. I don't love them, and I won't be excited. And I was all in, but they showed me at the end of the year, again, injuries, but still, what makes you believe with Lonzo's history that they are going to be completely healthy? There's always injuries that happen, whether it's a baseball season like the White Sox again this year. Last year there were injuries. This year there's injuries. There's always going to be injuries. They got very lucky with DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. Like, does that even out? Maybe are some other guys more healthy, but does DeMar start showing you some mileage after all these years? Is he as good? Is he as healthy? So I want reinforcements, and I still want them to be aggressive. Pat Riley's not looking to run it back. Pat Riley, again, was a game away from getting to the NBA Finals. You think Pat Riley wants to run it back?
No, he's looking for, you know,
For KD?
I was just going to say, I'm sure the Heat are going to be involved in the Kevin Durant conversation. And would they package Jimmy Butler in a deal for Kevin Durant? I'm sure they'd rather have Durant and Butler. But anyway, no, I think you're right. And I think AK can say, if he does make some type of move, some substantial move, he can still go back and say he believes in continuity. And to your point, right, all those players you just listed, he could still have on the roster and make a move with Vooch,
yeah,
and still talk about continuity, but adding around, you know, and what he just said at the beginning of that soundbite too was there's three ways we go about improving our team, right? So whether it's trade or free agency, it could still all be part of the continuity that he believes he's building with this roster.
I tweeted out the question. There are two poll questions today brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Visit toyota.com today. Do you believe, AK, that the Bulls will, quote, run it back in 2022-23? And I'm talking about basically bringing everyone back, no major moves around the edges. They may add a shooter. They may add another big. Do you believe him? And about two-thirds do. 64.8% believe him. 35.2% say no. I don't believe him. I believe he's looking to get them better. And I hope substantially better. Do you guys believe him?
I do. I look at it as everything he's done has been done in secret. I mean, there's been one telegraphed move that he's made, and it's the signing of Lonzo Ball, and it's the one that he obviously got slapped on the wrist for, too, with the tampering. But everything else has been secretive, even this past draft pick. Dalen Terry wasn't someone that I think were on a lot of mock drafts or Bulls fans' radars. None of the draft picks really have been.
Share with the audience what someone in my mentions alerted me on about Dalen Terry and the draft pick, the secretive nature.
The Bulls were the only team that Woj did not have on draft night when he's dropping bombs left and right. That was the only pick he did not have and did not tweet out before happened.
Maybe Woj was like busy with TV.
He never tweeted it in general. The tweet never went out.
So maybe he was busy. I don't know. But again, I don't know whether he didn't get the tip because the Bulls are so secretive, and that could be a good thing.
Which is weird, though, because we were talking about this earlier, but Woj and AK have had a relationship in the past. Like, Woj has had AK on his podcast back in the days when he was with the Nuggets.
Can't you keep a secret from a friend, though? You could still be friends with a dude and want to keep things on the low.
It's just
better than 6 week out promises.
It's something of such little consequence, right? Like knowing a draft pick a couple minutes early.
Yeah,
but
I guess
it's still odd.
So that's why. Well, so why do you believe him if everything he's done is stealth?
Because he's telling you that, okay, we're going to... Well, I'm saying I believe that he's going to go out there and do something to make this team better.
So you don't believe him then? You don't believe what he's saying publicly?
Which is a good thing. Like, right. For the first time ever, I'm comfortable with someone lying to me, I think.
I know. Lie to me. Just get your job done.
Yes.
Fine with that. I don't need to be told the truth. You don't need to be so transparent. Just be good at your job.
Yes, agreed. I think the truth is that he's looking to make a move. But if it doesn't materialize for whatever reason, whether it's something that's out of their control or the asking price for whatever he likes is too much and not something he's willing to part with, he's not gonna go and tell us publicly because it doesn't do him any good.
Right. It only could burn a bridge.
Exactly.
Like,
whereas
if it comes out, oh, the Bulls are shopping so-and-so, and then they don't get the deal done and he has to come back, then you have issues.
The one thing I read is I do think, and this should come as no surprise to anybody, the continuity angle, I think, is that they are all in on bringing Zach LaVine back.
Yes.
And I think that's what he means by continuity. I truly do.
Yep. 312-332-3776. Coming up next, we'll get to the good, the bad, the dirty. No guests the rest of the way. We had Jesse on earlier. So if you want to get in on the Bulls, on the White Sox, on the Cubs issues, we'll have some Bears conversation a little bit later. 312-332-3776.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow, so many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
That's right, the good, the bad, the dirty, our recap of the sports weekend or anything else we experienced this weekend. It's all brought to you by my great friends and partners at Window Nation. Got my new windows installed a couple of weeks ago. Window Nation, absolutely love it. This is window open weather, too, finally, where you don't have to have the AC on all day. You can open those windows during the day and at night. They work perfectly now. You should call them at 866-90-NATION, 866-90-NATION, or visit windownation.com. We'll go around the room. Waddle's off today. Tyler and Mel are here as usual. If you want to participate, we're guest-free the rest of the way, 312-332-3776. I'll give some the Sox some love here, okay? Let me start out with a good. You probably saw this if you were on the television this weekend. This got a lot of play nationally, too. What the White Sox did for young Bo Dowling, who is a 7-year-old who has had to fight a lot in his recent battles with thyroid cancer, the way they honored him, it was called Home Run for Life. And it was really, really a touching moment. He's a big Sox fan. He's a big baseball player. And they not only had the White Sox line up on the third base line to give him high fives, so he took a swing. And then he'll round the bases. You'll hear the crowd reacting to all it. Gene Honda narrates it. But the Orioles were on the first baseline, too. Like, both teams were participating. It was so well done. Want to give a high five to not only the White Sox, but, of course, to Bo Dowling.
Today, the Chicago White Sox invite Bo Dowling to celebrate a home run for life. Bo beat high-risk neuroblastoma after battling through an extremely intense treatment course. Bo was diagnosed with thyroid cancer and had surgery earlier this month. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise and join the Chicago White Sox and Baltimore Orioles in cheering on Bo as he takes his home run for life. One last round of applause for our real-life superhero, Bo Dowling.
So on a crazy weekend and up-and-down weekend, mostly down for the White Sox against the Orioles, they hit all the right notes as usual with Bo Dowling. And way to go, Bo. So that's my good, boys.
So I was at that game, and the cool thing about that moment, too, was, remember, that was the rain delay game, right? So usually with a baseball game, people come in at different times. Like, some people get there in the second inning. But since there was that hour-long delay, I think it ended up being,
yeah,
everyone was there for it, too, which was another cool part of it.
Very cool. Yes. Mellor, what's your good?
Very heartwarming moment indeed. And I will give a good to maybe the only good moment for the White Sox over the weekend, aside from the win yesterday, was Dylan Cease.
Yes.
Dylan. And I have to say,
he could be dirty too, and that's dirty with, yes, again, with the Cubs stuff.
Man, I have to ask you, Sylvie, do you regret the Cubs trading Eloy Jimenez or Dylan Cease more?
I think it's going to be Cease.
I think so too.
I think that's the one guy that they did hit with the in the system pitching.
I'll never forget that day when the trade was announced between the Cubs and Sox. I was actually driving my wife's grandfather to the airport, so I wasn't on the show that day, but I was listening to you guys because I was driving him to the airport, and I was just like caught up in emotions. I was so excited as a White Sox fan, and I'll never forget Rick Sutcliffe coming on and just so despondent, not about the trading of Eloy Jimenez, but of the fact that the Cubs were trading away Dylan Cease.
You know, do you remember his comp, who he comped him with?
I'll probably, once you tell me, but
Jake
I can't.
Jake Peavy. He said at least he has that it like Jake Peavy. He said he always reminded him on the backfield's throwing when he was on the lower levels of the Cubs system, and he was adamant that Dylan Cease, even through some of the topsy-turvy years,
yes,
a couple years he's had, Dylan Cease, his stuff is nasty.
And this year he has certainly lived up to that.
Yep. Tyler, what's your good?
My good is going to go to Ole Miss baseball. They won the College World Series. The College World Series is one of those things where I don't watch a lick of college baseball during the regular season, but once the College World Series gets up and running, I make sure to watch everything that goes down in Omaha. So congratulations to them.
It's meaningful. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
the fan bases that show up to middle of America, Omaha, Nebraska, to watch this thing play out is awesome.
Now that that's over and hockey's over and the NBA's over, we really just middle now until football gets going, and we don't have a championship until the World Series.
Yeah, when you said that today, or maybe it was the other Friday, day, it was a Friday, we don't have another championship till the World Series. It's like, what? It hits you.
Yeah.
I do wonder if college baseball, you're right, I'm kind of with you there, Tyler. Watch no college baseball until the World Series rolls around, and then I'll dabble. You know, it depends on when it fits into my schedule, but I'll dabble and watch a little bit of it as it's rolling around. I do wonder if they're missing an opportunity by not just pushing it out a couple weeks.
Like, getting away from hockey and basketball?
Yes. Here's the problem with it, is because all these players play in these summer leagues, and they're already late. If you're like an Ole Miss player, these leagues have already started.
And what about the draft? What if a player you draft gets hurt?
Well, so another thing too is that a lot of times the draft happens during the College World Series.
Yes.
Or like during the playoffs of the NCAA tournament for them.
Scale the 1 to 10, where's the sound of the aluminum bat pinging the baseball?
I love it.
I would say it's just behind the swoosh.
Just behind the swoosh.
The net, really. You know what's the puck hitting
iron.
The iron is so good. The post, it's so good. It unless it's your team that could have scored. But there's so many good sports sounds. All right, my bad. There's a lot that I could have picked from, but I think Michael Bourne got into some badness. And obviously, it's bad news for the Phillies with Bryce Harper. And they have been playing well. We documented it. He's been their engine as he normally is. And then he broke his hand. And take a listen to the Phillies call. Michael Bourne, you may remember, is the player. So he's one of their new broadcasters. And he let it slip on the call.
And the pitch.
Oh,
up and hit him. Oh, my goodness. Bryce Harper gets hit up, and he's clutching his hand right now. I don't know how he got his hand in the way of that, but he is in some pain right now.
So Bourne didn't speak for a while, and then he's like, I may have said something. Yeah, no, you didn't. It was real.
Oh, up.
He dropped it on the radio, on the Phillies radio, and oh, bleep. Just living it in real time. And that was crazy, too. I heard Merkin discuss this on the show. Blake Snell, did you know that Blake Snell and Bryce Harper have been playing against each other since they were like 12 or 13 years old? Because a lot of people saw the exchange where, you know, Harper's pissed, and then Snell felt terrible. He's like, hey, I'm really sorry. And then he's like, I know you weren't trying to hit me, but I'm really mad. And afterwards, he said, like, he was really mad, and he knows him and Snell have a good relationship because they have been playing against each other for so many years. Terrible injury, though, for Bryce Harper.
No doubt about it, and one of the better. He's just been ridiculous all season long. Like, his stats over the last 162 games have been absurd. He's got, like, 44 homers. He obviously won the MVP last year.
All right, you ask me. I'll play this game. Which hurts more, not having Harper, not having Machado, or not having Tatis?
So I think for me, it's Tatis because he was a member of the organization that was self-inflicted. But if I think Bryce Harper is the best hitter in baseball, you know? And I think he's finally lived, like, there was always like, oh, is he going to truly break through?
Right.
He's shown you the last 2 years. He's become, I think, that left-handed hitter that is just unstoppable. He's the best fair in baseball. So yeah.
What are your bads?
My bad, gentlemen, is the fact that it maybe kind of goes hand in hand with what you're talking about, not having a championship for a while, Sylvie. The hockey season is over. It was fun to watch last night the Avalanche, both, like you said, likable, two very likable teams.
Yes.
Squaring off if you don't have a rooting interest, but the season is finally over. And I was hoping maybe, just maybe, we might get a game seven, which was on the horizon potentially. But alas, the Colorado Avalanche were too much for the Lightning last night. And now their young stud, Nathan MacKinnon, he can maybe, just maybe, go to eating something bad and unhealthy. He is a fitness freak. And not just a fitness freak, Sylvie, but he's one of those guys who, inside the locker room, is very critical of his teammates.
Oh, it sounds like a Zetterman.
Yeah.
So he's criticizing everybody,
and he,
too.
And he will
that.
Tell people, listen, stop eating the... You know, he pulls a Michael Bourne to his teammates, and he's not afraid to tell them, if you eat bleep, you will play like bleep. And so now that they've gone on and won a cup, maybe he can just relax just a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I totally, like, again, I'm cool with what you want to do with your body, but, like, let other people eat what they
but
want.
The problem
as
is,
long as they're in shape, you know, you
well,
got to be dedicated
is,
to your craft.
He's been critical of his teammates, though, because he relies on them to be healthy and is their best out there. So
I know, but some guys do well when they eat steak, you know, and when they eat...
Well, steak's fine, I think. The problem is the donuts.
Yeah.
Everyone deserves a cheat every once in a while.
Exactly.
What's a Sunday donut going to do to you? That's not the make or break of you breaking a bone.
I don't
something.
Disagree with you. I think the problem is the Sunday donut leads to the Monday donut.
Right.
And the Monday donut
the
leads to the
Sunday donut.
Yes, exactly. Or
a whole dozen.
Yep. Yes.
Well, Tyler, what's your bad?
My bad. So I went to the Kenny Chesney concert over the weekend. And Kenny Chesney and Dan and Shay, great show. But my bad, it was at Soldier Field. And I don't go to Soldier Field very often, but I'm always reminded how awful it is getting out of that building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting
is,
in and out.
Try going to a Bears game.
Yeah. I mean... This is exactly why the move to Arlington needs to happen.
Yeah, I think most of us are past that. Like, I think most of us understand that, and we're just waiting to see and hope that the Bears don't screw this up. Because it's not a done deal yet. Could the Bears let this one slip away even?
Right.
Or build, like, an equally bad stadium just in the burbs? Like, let's hope they build something.
It's certainly
great.
On the table.
It
I
is.
Think that's,
how
yes.
How could it not be? And the last Soldier Field was even worse. Like, back in the day, it used to flood in the in
oh
the
boy.
Bay. I mean, it was craziness. The locker room was terrible before they renovated it. My dirty is, and I want to break down the fight, the baseball fight in general. That could be the whole dirty. But there were so many layers to it. But Rendon being in the mix with his casted arm, like, that's lose-lose, isn't it? I mean... You can't really go after a guy wearing a cast, and then now he's slapping guys with the offhand, where he's pushing pushing someone in the face with his that was Winker, wasn't it? With his
Jesse
with
Winker
his left hand.
Yep.
Like, well, what's he doing? Like, you are, isn't he out for the year too?
Yes, Rendon is.
He's what are you doing in a stupid baseball fight? Mixing it up. It's dirty.
That's like the equivalent of the NFL defensive lineman that gets to use the club. On there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like,
absolutely.
I've never understood that.
The club arm.
Yeah.
And I got to ask you something, too, about the benches clearing in baseball that I still don't truly understand, but go ahead.
My dirty gentleman occurred in the Tampa Bay Rays Pittsburgh Pirates game. Now, this may have eluded some folks out there as Randy Arozarena had a terrifically dirty, filthy slide. That was able to result in a stolen base as he was able to evade the tag. However, the dirty part occurred on the Rays broadcast when it was described Ooh. This way.
And the old reach around.
You got it, my friend. Randy Arozarena.
It's the old reach around.
Guilty of a dirty, filthy slide.
And the old reach around.
My dirty.
That's great.
I know where your mind's always at.
Great slide.
What do you got, Tyler, to wrap us up?
My dirty is a branch off of the brawl. It is the seed toss by Rysel Iglesias.
There's another part I want to talk about.
But I don't know if you guys saw this, but Pitching Ninja did the pitch tracer for the seed toss
with the Lions.
Yeah, and I love when Rob Friedman takes like weird plays and things that aren't actual baseball, and then puts the pitching ninja touch on it. So that's my
dirty. Let's talk more about the fight next. I want to get to something about bowling that I experienced later in the show. But I want to continue about this fight because there are many layers to this baseball fight. You'll hear it. We'll play it. And then just things about the baseball fight that still don't make sense to me, including the sunflower seed move right there. We'll get to all of it next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports. And he has pitched out of the pen in Salt Lake.
And he just hit Winker, Erica, with the first pitch. Scott Servais is calling for him to be thrown out of the game. And Winker's trying to get towards Phil Nevin. And the Angels... And the benches have cleared. And Justin Upton comes in. And we have chaos. Bullpen's coming in now. Can't remember the last time we have seen one of these with the Angels and an opposing team. And it's not done. It is not done. That is just a mass of humanity on both sides.
Yeah, you felt the tensions coming in, and it carried over for sure.
You got Shohei Ohtani in there, Mike Trout, the entire team. I'm seeing players on the Mariners wanting to keep this going, like Suarez, Eugenio Suarez, Julio Rodriguez. And you just have four umpires doing their best to try to break this up, and it's near impossible.
Good baseball fight. Good baseball fight. I didn't show my kids. My wife is like, don't show them. It's going to... I'm like, hey, it's sports. This happened. What, I'm going to shield them from a good old-fashioned Donnybrook?
Yeah, the hard thing is it's because your kids are younger. I remember trying to explain to my kids at that age what the hell is going on and why it's happening.
Yes.
Like, they need to hit a certain point where you can explain that it's not being completely logical. But when they're like 6, 7, 8 years old, sometimes they don't quite grasp what the hell's going on.
Let me ask you this, though. So in the NBA, if you leave the bench, you're suspended automatically from a game. If you're in a football game and you leave that sideline, you are penalized. Hockey, you can no longer, like when someone gets into a fight, it's one-on-one, if that's even allowed. There's barely any fighting these days. But if it is, it's one-on-one, and now... But like back in the day, the benches would empty. Everyone would grab somebody, and you'd fight someone just to fight someone. But that's out the window. Like, you only fight someone one-on-one now in every other sport. But for some reason, like, it is allowed. Like, we're, hey, everybody on the field. Is it because it's always 1 against 9? Is that, like, what is the rationale where it's still legal for the bullpen to, everybody, hey, now here come the bullpens.
That's the most pointless part.
Like, let's keep on coming out of the field.
I love checking to see which relief pitchers don't really want to get out there, but they know they have to. They're the late ones.
Jog.
Yeah,
here they come, bullpen reinforcements.
They're like,
that will save them.
They're 30 minutes late to the party.
No, here's how you can tell. It's always the guy who opens the door and like waits for everyone to file out. Like, they're the teacher taking the class to the next period.
If you're a door holder,
if you get the right baseball fight and the right unmotivated reliever, you will get a door holder.
But seriously, why in every other sport do you get penalized or suspended if you are the second into a fight? You cannot leave the bench in the NBA. You are automatically kicked out and then suspended for a game. But in baseball, it's like the more the merrier. Everybody on the field. Why is that? Isn't that odd?
I think it's because the game's so boring. They're happy to have it. They're happy to have action.
They need a little juice every once in a while.
Listen, we can't put the ball in play, but every once in a while you get a bases-clearing brawl. Let's do this.
I always thought it's because of the advantage that when a batter charges the mound or points like Winker was doing yesterday, there are 9 guys already on the field for them, and only he is up against them. So then the bench empties to give him support.
I think part of the reason why they let it go on the way that it does is, I mean, when you watch the fights themselves, there's more people trying to break it up than actually engage in some of these fights. So
usually,
it's almost more beneficial to have everyone out there.
Yeah, it's very rarely do you see someone actually get injured or take a real hit.
Right? Yeah, like there's one or two aggressors.
Yeah, and rarely, though, do they connect to the point where anybody's really in danger. You know, right. I'm trying to remember.
Even yesterday, like the biggest hit was, again, Rendon, like with an open palm.
Yeah, like it's like they almost know, okay, let's not cause anybody any bodily injury.
Here. Best baseball fight I've ever seen, and it's not even close. I'll share that with you coming up next. We have nobody in our way. If you want to talk to us, whether it's about the Sox, the Cubs, the baseball fights, Bulls free agency, 312-332-3776.